And good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF here on this Friday morning. Hope you are having a great day out there. And joining us on the phone this morning is Representative Doug Blex. And Mr. Blex, good morning. How are you doing today, sir?
Well, doing great. Looks like it'll be another hot one, but the mornings has been cool, so I'm looking forward to that fall weather when we have those cool mornings.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this past week has been great morning-wise in the 60s. Absolutely cannot beat that for this time of year for sure. All right, well, a lot of things to talk about here this morning. And, of course, one of the things we always talk about with you is the July revenue, and it looks like it was pretty good for this go-around.
Yeah, for people that may not understand, our fiscal year starts July 1, so this is actually the first month of we have some, revenue indication. So looking good, nearly $60 million more than predicted, so that's a good thing. Sales tax was about 8%, almost 9% above a year ago, and individual tax receipts were just about the same. And certainly retail sales were up slightly over 5%, and the out-of-state sales compensating use was up about 7%. So that's good news. And this is really kind of important because the Consensus Revenue Estimating Group estimates, and they're really pretty close as to how much money is coming in, and that's really kind of the core of how the budget is made by the governor and the legislature. So anything above that estimate is really a good deal and results in some surplus money. Of course, this is kind of the first year that we've not had a delay in income tax filing or something, so there's really no boost. And so this year should show exactly what, our economy is doing. And certainly we still need to be cautious, but right now it's looking great.
Absolutely. So, again, good stuff to start off the fiscal year with. And another thing we'd like to bring up, of course, the preliminary census numbers came out, and unfortunately Montgomery County had, out of the counties of Kansas, had the most loss total of residents, and Southeast Kansas in general had quite a bit of loss. However, Johnson County had about 60,000 more people, and Sedgwick County had about 18,000 more people at it. They were the top two counties in the state, which now is going to cause districts to be redrawn, and those meetings are coming up here within a few days, right?
They will. They start Monday, and that's there's a 5-day all week long, and there's actually 14 stops across the state of Kansas. They'll start in Manhattan and end up. Well, I can't remember exactly where they end up, but the meetings that will be somewhat local will be in Chanute on August 11th at 6 p.m. at the Neosho College, and then the next closest area they're going to have a redistricting meeting would be in Pittsburgh on the 12th at the Pittsburgh Memorial Hall, and that one's in the morning. So they're going to start up that whole week, and it'll be a series, and kind of the purpose of those meetings is to gain input from the public and inform them of the process. However, it won't be the final numbers, that they won't come in until August the 16th. So in some ways, there'll be a second round of meetings, but this is really the important part of census that a lot of people do not understand when we get an accurate count, because this count, the census not only determines revenue sharing, which is money coming back to the cities and towns on a population per person basis, but it's also really critical to establish legislative and senatorial districts. And yeah, it is some kind of bad news for Southeast Kansas, and certainly my home county and yours of Montgomery County losing 5,000 people. And what that's going to do, and we don't know exact numbers because we will actually start drawing lines, redistricting lines, after we get the individual precinct number, so we'll know pretty much exactly. But currently, I referenced, there was about an 84,000 gain in population across the state. However, and that final count was 2,937,880 people. And how they determine the number of people that are representatives, such as myself, will represent is they just divide that simply by 125. And previously, based on the 2010, I represented about 22,500 people. And in January of 22, that will be about 23,000. So actually, a gain of about 1,000 people that each representative will go. And of course, when you lose people, and another, you ask, where do they go? Well, certainly some people moved out of state, but a lot of it was shift. The population just shifted from the rural areas to the more urban areas. And you mentioned earlier Johnson County had a gain of nearly 60,000 people. Well, if you figure that out with the numbers of 23,500 I just gave you, that's over two representatives. So currently Johnson County has 26 state representatives in one county. And, for example, Montgomery County, I share that with Representative Rich Prail and Representative Jim Kelly. So you actually have three representations. I have the entire county of Chautauqua, which is the sole representative for that particular county. So what it's going to mean is that more than likely we will lose a representative in southeast Kansas and probably one in southwest Kansas. And so that's not necessarily a good thing. Districts will get larger, and certainly the only way I can move in some of the other border counties is to go north. I can't go south because that's the Oklahoma line. And it is a complex process. And the bad thing I see from it is that we're losing our rural representation, people that live in the grassroots areas that kind of understand, how things are down here. Now those decisions, the impact of those decisions will be made from major urban county representatives that may not quite understand what we deal with down here. So it's kind of a bad deal, in a way, but certainly, that's what the census does, and we want to be, have equal representation, and we're not going to increase the number of representatives or the number of senators just because there's a population increase. So that's kind of how things are looking right now, but you can attend those meetings and find out a little more information. But as most people know, the major party, which is the Republican now in charge, will be responsible for redrawing those district lines. And, for example, my district goes almost about 7 or 8 miles east of Winfield and Ark City. And so I have a fairly large district for, an eastern Kansas district. Representative Newland up at Wilson County has one just slightly larger. So there's going to change. So in August of 22, we'll probably be losing a representative in our local area.
And again, we talked to Senator Virgil Peck last week, and he said, unfortunately, the rural areas in Kansas, not just our area, but a lot of the rural areas, because of the big population shift, a lot of rural areas are probably going to lose a little bit of representation this year because of that shift in population. And that's one of the things I want to lead into, talking about the Office of Rural Prosperity. And one of the things that you're talking about is, why are people leaving, and basically, why are people leaving?
Well, that's a good question, and unfortunately, we're kind of a little bit behind the eight ball. We're just now trying to really make a major effort to retain our young people. I think for years, we've told them that, it's okay to move away, maybe lower pay jobs here and housing, some issues. But we forgot to tell them to come back and that they have that ability to come back. So it's kind of hurt, you know, our area, and particularly rural Kansas, and our local tree trooper on who's. But anyhow, they interviewed young people ages 21 to 39. They had about 460 surveys with 175 actual interviews. And the top list, of course, is broadband, speed, housing, lack of adequate housing, and ironically, child care come up in that, as well as some other things. But, you know, those are the things that those younger generation people want. And that was, they were asked why, what do you need to stay in Kansas? And of course, I think if we'd done another survey and interviewed people that may be over 65 that are moving out, and my own informal survey of asking people why they're leaving, in almost every case, it's high taxes on property and vehicles. So we are losing people. And we want to encourage them. We're trying to keep people in Kansas, and certainly we want our youth to stay here. We want to revitalize our communities, and that's very important. And some of the local towns have done a really good job of trying to keep people there, but it's a tough deal. And ironically, a website, My Baggage, ranks Kansas the second best state to move to, and they cite cost of living, property, the price of housing, and happiness, hours of sunshine, and it's some of the lower home values, and certainly a broad range of living from urban to rural. And so here we are, ranked second best place to move to, and yet our state migration rate, which is the number of people moving out versus coming in, is 3.45. And if you want to compare that to New York, it's 8.7.
Wow. So those numbers are pretty telling there. So, again, like you said, unfortunately, we're just kind of losing people in the area and also losing people in the state of Kansas. Hopefully we can start getting people back in. But again, these lines last for the next 10 years, do they not? The new lines that will be drawn.
We'll be living with this for the next 10 years, and once the district lines are drawn, and it is technically a bipartisan event. There's the Democrat Party and the Republican Party, and we'll sit down, and they will look at districts. And of course, each party wants to draw lines that will give them a majority, and that's always a contentious issue. But for the most part, it's really based on that. What will be 23,000 near 500 people for each representative, and try to get that exact as possible. Ironically, I have a garage apartment in an alley behind El Poblito's in a penthouse, not even a street, as part of my district. So, you know, they are fairly, they want to get it as close as possible so that there's equal representation across the state, and that's a good thing, you know. So a lot of work will be done, but the bottom line of it is, when we go to polling booths in August of 22, we're going to be seeing some names that may be familiar, maybe my own, who knows how that's going to work out, but that won't be there simply because of the redistricting.
Well, sir, again, I thank you for your time today. I really do appreciate it. If somebody would like to get a hold of you, if they have a concern, maybe about the redistricting or maybe some other questions, how can they get a hold of you?
Well, my cell phone is, personal cell is 620-212-4183, or they can email me at dougblex.gov@thehouse.kansas. You can get on the Kansas legislature site. Find the email addresses and phone numbers of all the legislatures. So, be happy to try to answer any questions. Hopefully we can get this thing worked out, and things will work out maybe a little bit better than what we're predicting for Southeast Kansas. But right now it doesn't look real great.
Well, absolutely. Well, sir, again, thank you so much for your time today. We always appreciate when you spend some time with us here on the first Friday of each month, and I hope you have a fantastic rest of your day and a great weekend.
Same back to you, and God bless. It's always an honor for me to try to inform the public.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Blex. You have a great day.